first three chapters in Proverbs are Solomon's introduction to the whole book. And he begins the book by saying that, or revealing what his purpose is. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety, that's wisdom, to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Then he tells you the difference between a wise man and a fool. This world thinks a wise man is somebody who knows a lot, and a fool is somebody with a low IQ on their tests that they take at school. That's not it. This is the definition of wisdom and foolishness right here. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In other words, if you can learn, you are wise. If you can hear the voice of God and increase in understanding, you are wise. If you hear the voice of God and it means nothing to you, you are a fool. That's it. That's the revelation in Proverbs. And he says that over and over throughout the whole book. That a fool will reject instruction. He can't take it in. It doesn't seem good to him. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't feel good. But a wise man will learn when he hears from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You have to be humble to learn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What else is the fear of the Lord, Earl? You remember? Any other scriptures about the fear of the Lord?
Pride.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Forward tongue.
All of those things. He says it right here in the next chapter or so. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Wise men fear God, fools don't. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Then he warns his son not to go in with sinners who say, we're going to rake in a bunch of money. Because there's all kinds of evil involved with that. In verse 17, he starts talking about catching birds. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Now why does he stop talking to his son about staying away from robbers and liars and evil men, murderers, and then start a conversation on catching birds? What's the point? His son is the bird. And those evildoers have a trap set. And he's like leading his son over to the trap and saying, this is the trap. Do not go in this trap. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. I'm showing you they're spreading this net for you so that they will spread it in vain for you, so that you won't get into it. There's a point to all of this. Verse 20, wisdom cries out on the outside of the house, where everybody goes, a marketplace, everywhere. Crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she utters her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn. When you hear my reproof, turn. Change. There's a net in front of you. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you if you turn. I will make known my words unto you. And that evening when I was out praying and the Holy Ghost fell and started preaching to those rocks, these are the scriptures that it quoted. Verse 24. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have, this is you plural, talking to the people there. Ye have set at naught. To set something at naught is to make it nothing, make it a joke. You have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Because of that, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You don't ever want to hear God laugh at you like that. Chapter 2, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, so that you can begin to learn and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge, that's if you ask God for it. If any man lack wisdom, what James say? Let him ask of God, who giveth to men liberally. He's waiting for somebody with a whole heart to cry out, God, help me understand. That's what God's waiting for. In the day you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. God does not reward half-hearted seekers because that gives them the wrong idea about God. If you cry out for as silver, if you cry out for knowledge, if you seek her as silver, if you search for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, not men. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. From the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil. That's what they have fun doing. And delight in the frowardness of the wicked. You know what the frowardness, one thing the frowardness of the wicked is snappy comebacks, sarcastic comments. The news media love it. When one politician comes up with a snappy, sarcastic comment about another that just freezes the other one, it doesn't have a snappy comeback because it's so clever, they will repeat it hour after hour on headline news. It makes such a great impression on them, that cutting, harsh, cold, hateful, clever remark thrills them. You'll hear it 10 times in one day. The frowardness of the wicked, they love it. They delight in it. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their path. And to deliver thee not only from the evil man, but from the strange woman. The woman who's a stranger to God. Even from the stranger who flatters with her words. Those young women that forsake the guide of their youth. And forget the covenant of her God. Where are all the young girls here tonight? There? Where's Stacy? Oh, there she is. Don't forget the guide of your youth. The covenant of your God. If you do, this will describe you in not too long a time. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, that's the new earth, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Chapter 3 has a lot of precious instruction for young people. All the way through Proverbs in verse 3, we see an example of it. Mercy and truth are tied together. You need both. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You need to be right with God. You need to know what's true. At the same time, we need to be merciful toward those that haven't learned it yet. And even merciful toward those who have rejected it. Because you know you've had some good things from God in your past that you've rejected until God had mercy on you. You need mercy and you need truth. Truth to keep you and mercy to leave the door open for it to keep somebody else. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of both God and man. Trust in the Lord with at least half your heart. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. God, help us. From the time you were 6, 7, 8 months old until the time you came in contact with the power of God, in your early years, you learned how to deal with this life in a way that got you what you wanted, or at least you thought it would. You learned how to manipulate your parents by the time you were 12 months old, if they could be manipulated. Then you started working on brothers and sisters. I say you, we. Friends in the neighborhood, we started that contest of spirits to see who would be the leader, who would be the follower, how we could get this out of that one or that out of this one. That's the way the whole world is in school. Then you, even some teachers could be manipulated if you were good enough at it. You went through school that way, learning tricks from other kids, finding your own way. Whether it was learning how to pout, you found that worked with mama and daddy. You got real good at it. You even work with a policeman if you get pulled over. Or you learn how to get angry and fight and punch somebody. All kind. You get a thousand different options there, depending on your personality and what you're after. When you come to Jesus, it doesn't matter what you have learned, how you have learned to manipulate to get what you want. Jesus said all of it is wrong. Now trust in my ways. Jacob learned to manipulate. He stole his brother's birthright, lied to his father, deceived his father, stole the blessing, and God sent him to stay with Laban for a few years to learn not to do that, but to trust in the Lord to give him what he wanted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do it His way. Lean not to your own understanding. Let's surrender our own learned habitual ways that we got by in the flesh and start obeying the truth of God. That's what really gets us to where we want to be. And it's the only thing that will. That's what he's talking about. Keep God's law. Forget the tricks you learned to get by with. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll take over and direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Give it up. You do that, it's going to be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord in your heart. If you do, it'll show up in your behavior. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Amen. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. If He doesn't let you get by, it's because He wants you. Amen. He's got something good for you. He wants you to have it. Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father in the son in whom He delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold.
Amen.
Wisdom is more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Durable riches, eternal riches. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that holds on to her, retains her. I've never seen a human being that was walking in the Spirit of God that was sad about it, that regretted it later. I've never seen anybody who held on to the knowledge of God that Jesus gave them that later wished they didn't have it. I don't think it'll ever happen. There's just too much joy and peace in it. The Lord, by evolution, has founded the earth. I'm sorry. It is a joke.
It is.
It is funny. Eat up my son, up my country, my city. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth.
Amen.
And men can't figure it out. You know why? Because by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God.
Amen.
They can't figure it out because they don't have faith.
John, that lady in Utah, that Jewish lady, told me that she and 95% of the other Jews believe they came from monkeys. And all I could do was laugh and tell her, stop. I said, please stop. Don't tell me. I just couldn't take it.
Men did not come from monkeys.
It was too.
Now, if you want to tell me men are turning into monkeys, I'll listen.
That's right. Amen.
It was sad, but it was funny.
The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding He has established the heavens.
Praise God.
By His knowledge the depths are broken up. And by His knowledge the clouds drop down the dew.
Amen.
You know, finding out God's ways of doing that puffs men up. Knowledge puffs men up. They find out that how condensation works. They found out that heat rises with warm, moist air, and it cools and it squeezes, they say, the moisture out of the air, and raindrops come down. That makes people think God's not doing it. Knowledge puffs up. But finding out how God does it does not mean God's not doing it.
That's right.
If He shows you how He carries out a certain physics formula, that doesn't mean He's not doing the physics formula.
He's not bound to it either.
Amen. Praise God. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet, because you're trusting in Jesus.
Amen.
Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it.
Amen.
Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. I'll give you what I owe you tomorrow when you've got it in your back pocket. You owe somebody, you pay them. And when it comes time for your pay, God will give that to you. You know, you can say to somebody, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Well, what if God would say to you, I'll give it to you tomorrow? When a day is with the Lord 1,000 years. I give it to you in 1,000 years. Just come back. God will give you what's yours if you give to others what's theirs. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. And strive not with a man without a cause if he's done you no harm. Don't stir up trouble, or you may end up deep in it. Love peace and pursue it. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For people with a froward spirit are an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. He scorns the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, the next chapter begins something that's not from Solomon. Solomon begins to remember the instruction that his father David gave to him as a young man. And he repeats it. And it goes all the way through chapter 9. Proverbs 4 through 9 are not from Solomon directly. They're from David through Solomon. Hear ye children. This is Solomon talking to his children now. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, my father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, just as I'm teaching you. And this is what David said to him. He said, Solomon, let your heart retain my... Remember what I'm saying, son. I know what I'm talking about. You'll be safe if you listen to me. Keep my commandments and live. This is what David told Solomon. You're going to find out in the next few verses where Solomon was influenced to ask God for wisdom. David told his young son, get wisdom. Praise God. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. If you love wisdom, she'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, Solomon. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. You can get a new car, but get understanding. You can get a new house, but get understanding. You can get new clothes, but get understanding. Understanding is what's going to keep you. Exalt her. Don't be ashamed of wisdom. And she'll promote you. She shall bring thee to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. I've shown you the way of eternal life, Solomon. Hold on to it. When you go, your steps shall not be straitened. You won't be worried about things. When you run, you won't stumble. Solomon, take hold, fast hold, tight of instruction, and don't let her go. Keep her. She's your life. My. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not. Don't even walk past it. Turn away from it and go away. Don't even come close. Don't walk on the edge. Don't even want to be like them. Stay away from anything evil that you see up ahead. Get away from it. Don't even stay to watch. Get out of sight. For they can't even sleep unless they've done something wrong. You know, there are people like that whose peace at night is that they have committed some evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause somebody to do wrong. And they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know what they stumble at. They don't know why they can never quite get it right. They don't know why they keep making the same mistake. They don't understand how to stop tripping over whatever it is that makes them trip. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, right in the middle, where it can influence all of you. For my words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, guard it with all diligence, for out of your heart are the issues of life. Whatever you really are in your heart, whatever you have in your heart is going to come out. What you have in your heart is what you're going to do. Guard your heart and don't let evil influences in. Put away from you a froward tongue, a sassy tongue, and perverse lips put far from thee. Refrain from the temptation of making the cutting, sarcastic, clever remark. It does no good. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before thee. Think about what you're doing. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where a life of that kind of living is going to take you. I was explaining this Sunday morning to folks upstairs when we were reading the Bible together. When I was young, I thought I was really, really something. I could come up with those sarcastic, clever remarks. I could speak evil of authorities, rebellious attitude. But you know what made me seem cool, what made it seem funny, what made it seem like something desirable? It's because there were good people in the earth. Everybody had been like me, I would have hated life. It's only because we had government that it looked cool to be anti-government. If the whole world had been in anarchy and there had been no government, I'd been begging God for some government. Think about what you're doing. If everybody was like you, what would it be like? If everybody had your attitude, what kind of world would it be? Don't fall into the trap of looking clever just because there are good people still trying to do right. That's what so many foolish young people judge themselves by. And it's a trap. The guys in my high school, I guess I was right along there with them, would really ridicule the workers in the lunchroom and the sorry lunches we had in high school and make all kinds of jokes, call it the Tomaine Tavern and all kinds of stuff like that, and then fight one another to get first in line. That's what I'm talking about. It's all vain talk, but it can lead to some bad things in your life. Ponder the path of your feet. What if everybody was like you? Let all thy ways be established, and turn not to the right hand or to the left. Keep your foot away from evil. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. So that when you open your mouth, something worth hearing comes out. That's very important. The longer I live, Wendell, the more precious goodness is. The more precious it is that when I listen to something, that it's worth hearing. That it's not frivolous, vain, empty, worthless talk. When I hear somebody with sound words, Sister Willie, when you get up, when you come to a meeting and I see you take a breath because you're about to say something, my whole body goes, because I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good.
Amen.
That's the kind of person we want to be. We want to be the kind of person that when people see we're about to speak, their insides, if they have a righteous heart, their insides are excited because they know it's going to be sound. It may be about the weather, or it may be about an event in your family. It may be, but it's going to have faith in it. It's going to have love in it. It's going to be true. It's going to be good. Jesus said we're going to give an account for every idle word. That's every word that's no good. God, help us live in the fear of God. I have to assume that David saw two things in his young son Solomon. Number one, that he had an inclination toward wisdom. Before Solomon asked for wisdom, and David was dying, he told Solomon to deal with Joab and deal with Shimei and deal with whoever else it was, according, he said to his son, according to your wisdom. Solomon had some wisdom from God before God asked him what he wanted. David saw that. And he was encouraging that in Solomon. Seek it, Solomon. You've been chosen by God. You've been anointed by God. You've got something from God. Pursue it. Be full of it. Realize the value of it. It's your life. It's who you've been chosen to be. He also saw something else in his young son Solomon. I have to conclude that from what's in chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Because over and over and over again, not only did he say, pursue wisdom, but he said, stay away from immoral women. He saw something in Solomon. Here's the first time, well, the second time he's dealing with it, that this is dealt with in Proverbs. First time from David to Solomon. Verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. That's poison. Painful. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. She loves being a mystery to you, son. I'm revealing what that mystery is. It's death. Hear me now, therefore. This is Solomon. This is David now talking. O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Don't even hang around to watch her either. Come not near the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. They had diseases then too. And you end up saying, how have I hated instruction? Oh God, help these young people not come to an end where they're lying on their sick bed saying, how I hated what I heard. Why did I not hear? Why didn't I do it? What did I think I was going to get? And you say in the end, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Then he tells Solomon, you drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. That's your children. Let them be only thine and not strangers with thee. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the women of the town.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. With the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. That's Song of Solomon. They were ravished with each other because it was time for that. And it was holy and pure and good and pleased God. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom? Eat up a son of Micaiah. And embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Your sins tie you up. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray.
He's sure telling
me. Yes, he is. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. In every generation, there's never been an exclusion. And There's never been an exception. That's how it is in every generation, in every culture, everywhere. Then he warns his son. David warns Solomon not to go into debt for other people, even a friend. They couldn't handle their business. Let them learn how. Don't sign a note for anybody. That's what he's telling them. If you're a surety for your friend, surety means you go and you put your name on the dotted line. And let me tell you something, it is a bad feeling to put your name on a dotted line for a friend and then have them backslide. I know that feeling. Verse 6, he warns them against laziness. Watch the ant, he says in verse 6. They don't even have anybody pushing them in verse 7. And they still work. Because they know winter's coming. Verse 9, don't fall in love with sleep. How long will you sleep, old sluggard? When will you get up out of your sleep? Oh, just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall your poverty come to you as a traveler. Let me tell you something, it takes money to travel. And your want as an armed man. He warns them again about evil men. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. In other words, he doesn't say yes or no. He's always got something up his sleeve. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken, and there won't be any remedy for it. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and, look at this, he that sows discord among people that are getting along. Brethren, love peace. Hate discord. Hate strife. We'll be dealing with those seven things in the next seven thoughts for today. Here he goes again. He's reminding Solomon about immoral women. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about your neck and tie them, or heart, and tie them about your neck. When you go, the law will keep you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. It'll lead you, it'll keep you. When you awake, it'll talk with you. Amen. You know God's law still talks? For the commandment is a lamp, and God's law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress, that's the married woman, the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. If the hand of God is on a young man, Travis, Elijah, Josiah, young men, you're number one target of an adulterous woman. You're a prize that she'd brag about in secret with her friends. She will hunt for the precious life. Your life is precious. Don't give it to just anybody. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. There is never an excuse to do that. Never a good reason. Men do not despise a thief if he steals because he's starving to death. Even though if he's found in the next verse it says he's got to pay back. He'll be punished according to the law, but they don't despise him. They understand that he was motivated by hunger. But whoso goes in to that adulterous woman, commits adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You're like an animal, like a dog. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. You want to get into trouble with a man? That's the way to do it. And if he kills you, people will understand. And he won't get a long prison term. They call them crimes of passion. And the courts have very much sympathy for them. Because they understand. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. He goes right back. He doesn't let go because he knows Solomon's going to be tried. My son, keep my words. Remember them. Lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. If you have to, write them on the walls where you live. Say unto wisdom, you're my sister. And call understanding your mother, your kinsman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, the stranger which flatters with her words. Then he told of an event that happened just after dark one night. When he was walking outside the king's house there. And he was in the dark, and he beheld in verse 7 a simple one coming down the street. And I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He was passing through the street near her corner. He went the way toward her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her own house. She's on the outside, now in the streets. She's lying in wait at every corner. And she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, she said, I have peace offerings with me this day. This day I paid my vows. Isn't that sweet? She honored God that day, but she wants to dishonor her husband. Therefore came I forth to... You're just the one I've been looking for, hoping you'd come by to see me. Diligently to seek thy face, and now I've found you. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, with loves. For my husband, the goodman, is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a lot of money with him, and he won't come back till the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways. You know why he said decline? Because if you go toward her, you're going downhill. He didn't say incline, he said decline. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doth not wisdom cry, as cry out, and understanding put forth her voice? It calls wisdom a she because in Hebrew it's a female word, but it's really talking about Christ. And this chapter right here in chapter 8, the Spirit of Christ takes over and describes his life with God before the world was created when he gets into it. She standeth at the top of the high places by the way, by the road, along the road, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. And this is what wisdom cries. Unto you, O men, I call. I know it sounds kind of silly, but I'm so thankful that wisdom calls us It doesn't say, unto dogs do I call, or unto cats, or unto cows. God offers us His wisdom. He chose us to reveal Himself to, if we'll listen. I think that's a wonderful thing. I feel privileged that He chose me instead of an animal. Chose us instead of the trees. God chose to give us His Spirit. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Amen. And I'm one of them. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Amen. Yeah, and you know what you're supposed to say to God when He says that to you? Say, Amen, here I am, teach me. Amen. When He calls you, oh, simple-minded, learn something. You say, yes, Lord, you're talking to the right man.
That's right.
You don't say, well, who's simple-minded? Huh? That's the kind of person that can't learn. That's a fool talking. That is a simple-minded person. You know, with the attitude of a servant, Lou, you can never be insulted. Jesus was hurt. He cried. He was embarrassed. He was beaten. He felt lower than a dog. He felt like a worm. But He never got insulted because He never saw Himself as being worthy of an insult. He was a servant. Every time you get insulted, repent. And you'll feel much better. My father used to say when he was preaching, he said, if I hurt your feelings, I'll forgive you as soon as you get over it. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. If I hurt your feelings, just repent. I'll forgive you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. How precious is that? Go turn on your television and see how many right things, excellent things, good things you hear. How precious that is to open your mouth and right things come out. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Glory to God. All of them. Every one. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain, easily understood to him that has understanding. And they are right to them that find knowledge. That's what we want. We want every word of God to seem right to us. We want everything Jesus says to be welcomed into our hearts. And not seem strange or hard or cold or wrong. Because if they seem that way to us, it's because we're wrong. Everything He says is right. Every word is in righteousness. Every one of them is perfect. Receive my instruction and not silver. Don't pursue money, pursue me. And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired on this planet are not to be compared to wisdom. I, wisdom. Oh boy, boy, this is when the Son of God starts talking now. I love hearing His voice. I love hearing His voice. I love it because it's right. It's healing. It's delivering. It's rescuing. I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence. Glory to God. And I find out knowledge of witty inventions. Jesus has revealed every invention that there's ever been on earth. Came from Jesus. The wisdom of God. And if men had behaved themselves, there's no telling what we could have had now available for sickness and pain and trouble on the earth. Sin has kept us with just a few tiny little inventions that there are compared to what there might have been. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and that sassy mouth, I hate. Jesus never has that kind of mouth. Counsel is mine. Counsel worth having. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Glory to God. By me, kings reign. Princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Every right decision of every court comes from God. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Seek Him, young people. Seek Him early. Don't wait until you make a mess and then seek Him. Seek Him before you make the mess and don't make it. It'll keep you from the mess. And keep the mess from you. Riches and honor are with me. Durable riches, not the kind that flee in a moment when the stock crashes. Stock market. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. When you inherit something from God, you've got something that's going to last. When my father died, he didn't own a thing on the planet except a little toolbox and some furniture and a refrigerator, a plastic couch, a chair or two, a bed, and a refrigerator. But Sister Willie, I inherited some substance. Amen. Gave away most of that stuff. I didn't need it. But that wasn't substance. Oh, glory to God. What I got from Him was substance. Glory to God. It's lasting. It's keeping me. It's durable.
And you're passing it on to us.
Woo! Glory to God. Make your children rich and give them some substance. Something that's going to last. Eternal riches. A million years from now, I'll still be glad. It'll still be keeping me. There have been people that died and left their children millions of dollars, and their kids were bankrupt in their souls. Bankrupt. Nothing durable. The Lord possessed or created, that's what the word means. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before He even started doing those old works. Before His works of old, His ancient works. I was first. In Revelation He said, I am the beginning of the creation of God. The Alpha and Omega. The first and the last. The beginning of the creation of God. The Lord Almasina Makana Masina. He came first. Before all things. I was set up. That word means anointed. I was anointed from everlasting, from the beginning. Before the world was here, I was created and anointed with all power in heaven and in earth. Because He had to create it first. Praise God. Everything He created, He had power over. That's why He's called God. When there were no depths, that's the oceans, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was already sitting there. Praise God. Hallelujah. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was right there by him. As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the inhabitable part of the earth. And my delights were with the sons of men that he created. Now therefore, children, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that hears me. Oh God, let us hear it. Not with your ears so much as with your heart. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Oh, glory to God. Listen for the voice of Jesus. He's talking to you every day. He's got something to say. He's got some instruction how to deal with the situations you face. A witty invention to come up with. A shortcut around a problem. Jesus is talking. Wisdom is crying out every day. Everywhere you go, there's something good from Jesus for you. It's just a matter of whether you're listening or not. That's all. That's all. He's talking. He's crying out to you. Let me help you. I know the answer. I know the best way to deal with this. Listen to me. Of course, he says it so gently, Lou, we go right past him. Oh, for ears to hear. Fine tune our soul to his frequency. Get the static out of the way so he can speak clearly. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor from Jehovah. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The Spirit's still speaking through this David to his son. Wisdom has builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And that remained a mystery until the Apostle Paul came along and wrote it out in Ephesians. Amen. Seven pillars. And everything in the New Testament is built upon it. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read them. They're pleasant. I love to hear the sound of them. Ephesians chapter 4. There's the seven pillars that wisdom hewed out. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. Because there's not but one. Not but one that's going to do you any good. There's not but one that's good. And you can't join it because it's not of the will of man. It's the will of God. One body. There's not but one spirit that's of God. The Spirit of Christ is the same thing as the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's the same thing as the Spirit of Christ. The Comforter is the same thing as the Holy Ghost. Not but one. When Jesus went down to be baptized in the Jordan River, Luke looked up and saw the Spirit of God in a figure. He says what he said he saw. Mark looked up and he saw the Holy Ghost. Matthew looked up. I think he saw the Spirit of God too. John just looked up and saw the Spirit. I don't think he saw a flock of birds coming down. Yes. One Spirit called by many different names. There's one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, because there's not but one Holy God. And it's His Spirit. Praise God. He gave that Spirit to His Son when He created Him before everything else. Jesus said, the Father gave me life and gave me power to give it to whoever I want to. He set Him up. He anointed Him when He possessed Him in the beginning of His ways. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope. That one hope is that Jesus comes back and takes you with Him.
Amen.
That's the only hope. If in this life we only have hope, we're of all men most miserable, Paul said. What a miserable life hope that would be, to just look for something in this world. Look at the mass confusion that's out there now. Men don't even know how to govern anymore. This country is trying to fight a nice war. It is impossible. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is going to show men how to fight when He comes back. He's not going to come turning any more cheeks. The first thing He's going to do when He shows up is land on Mount Olive, and He's going to be so hot and so angry that the mountain's going to split in half. Half to the north, half to the south. Then the next thing He's going to do is open His mouth, and a sword's coming out of His mouth, and so many men are going to die that there'll be a river of blood 200 miles long, 5 feet deep. He's going to teach men how to fight. Because when he fights with his whole heart. He doesn't seek to wound his enemies. He seeks to crush them. It's going to please Him to walk through the blood and spatter in His garments. He doesn't know what a nice war is. God is a man of war, but He's held Himself back because Jesus prayed for us. Jesus gets back, He'll show them how to fight. Just the way His Holy Ghost is showing us how to live right now. Listen to the Holy Ghost. At this time in history, the Holy Ghost is saying, turn the other cheek. When Jesus gets back, that's the last time you'll ever have to turn a cheek. From then on, it's reigning with Him 1,000 years with a rod of iron. But we're not worthy to reign with Him until we've suffered with Him. The way He suffered when He was here. Very meek, very lowly. But it's only for a time. The world is not going to win. Jesus is going to win.
Amen.
And we're going to win with Him.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And He is our hope. One Lord. That's Jesus. One faith. That's all these other six if you understand them. One baptism, and men can't give it to you. And one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and He's in you all.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, if that goofy doctrine of a Trinity in Christianity were true, there wouldn't even be seven pillars. Because the Lord and the God and the Spirit would have to be one. That wouldn't be but five pillars. Somebody come up short. But wisdom has built her house. Jesus has built this little house right here. And He's built His house all over this world by baptizing people with the Holy Ghost into it. Wisdom has built her house, hewed out seven pillars that it rests upon. She has killed her beasts. I'm one of them. You dead yet? When you're dead, it doesn't insult you to hear that you are a dead beast. Paul said, ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's good news. Paul said, I die daily. And yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wisdom has killed her beast and has mingled her wine and furnished her table. And we're eating at it, eating from it, drinking from it tonight. This is the communion He suffered and died for. This is the drink that He wanted His disciples to have, but He hadn't died yet, so He just gave them some wine and said, this is the blood of the testament. It wasn't the blood of the testament, it was wine. It symbolized something they couldn't have yet because that life was still in His body. But His life was shed out now. And we're eating and drinking from a table that this world knows nothing about. She hath sent forth her maidens, that's ministers. She crieth upon the highest places of the city, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Makes me want to crawl to the table. I'm simple, God. I don't know anything. God, help me. Help me understand. Help me know what to do. As for him that lacketh or wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come on. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Praise God. When God gives you understanding, you've got it. Amen. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, when I went to Louisville, first trip, in the middle of the night, the Spirit of God came down and gave me that song, The Lord's a Refuge for Me, and this and that. He started talking to me when I was out there the night. He said, son, from now on, problems that seemed awfully hard, we'd given you a lot of problems or difficulty, are going to seem very simple to you. What? I forgot about it. When I got back here, it was twice this happened within a week or so. So burdened and so confused and so distraught, sat down there and started telling me, pouring their hearts out. And I looked at them and I thought, what's your problem? And both of those people left that office laughing at themselves. And after the second one walked out, the Spirit spoke to him and said, you see what I mean? I said, oh. It's like Peter, then I remembered the word of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Out of the Lord's mouth cometh wisdom. He gives knowledge and understanding. I forgot about it until he had to remind me what he told me. Praise God. We don't know anything. The Lord gives understanding. When he told Solomon, when he prayed for wisdom, and he told Solomon, I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody's ever had. Solomon didn't feel any different. But when those two women showed up with that baby, and one of them dead and one of them alive, he said, I know what to do. It came from God. God put it in there. It's not in man. It's from God. Let God kill your beastly nature so that His wisdom can come through you. Let that old man die. He doesn't want to. He'll kick and squirm. He'll try to get off that cross. Don't feed him. And don't stand around sympathizing with him. Let him die. Around that altar before God's temple, in the front of it, was not a pretty place. There were guts, burning flesh, running blood, smelly hides, blood-covered ministers of God, but it got the job done. And when you're really putting yourself on God's altar, they're not going to want to make a television program out of that. I've seen many one with our whole heart pouring out their hearts to God and their nose running. Somebody else have to wipe it for them. It's not meant to be pretty. It's meant to be effective. It's meant to get you out of trouble. It's meant to get rid of sin and teach righteousness and peace and joy. God's not trying to impress people. He's trying to deliver people. They're in trouble. They're in sin. They're in darkness. They're in confusion. They need a deliverance. Wisdom killed her beast. She didn't try to make it look pretty. She just killed the beast. Let that old beastly nature struggle against the knife, but let it die. Stay on the operating table. Let the Holy Ghost finish with you. Get rid of all the poutiness. Get rid of all the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. And let joy come in the morning. Get up a new person. Finish with your old ways. David talking to Solomon. Verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Don't cast your pearl before swine. Be led by the Spirit before you say something to somebody. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you. Because he knows you're saving him from the path of destruction. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. They're always learning. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is what understanding is. It's not knowledge of geometry. It's knowledge of God that's real knowledge. It's going to last. For by me, that's wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If you be wise, you're going to benefit. You'll be wise for yourself. If you scorn, you're going to suffer the consequences for yourself. It's you and God and nobody else. You and God are going to determine how happy you end up. If you're wise, you and God are going to be happy together. If you're foolish, you're going to end up in the lake of fire hating your soul for being so foolish as not to listen. You get the reward, you get the curse. It's nobody but you and God. And he goes back to the immoral woman for his son Solomon. I have to believe he saw a weakness there. A foolish woman is loudmouth, clamorous. She is simple-minded. She doesn't know anything. She thinks she does. My father said when a young woman starts going bad, she gets wise with a worldly wisdom. She gets clever, cunning, knows how to cover tracks. But that's going to pass away. It's devilish. Find a young teenage girl, she starts becoming immoral. She picks up a certain kind of wisdom. But it's not godly. It's sensual. They really know nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoever is simple-minded, let him turn in hither. And as for him that lacketh understanding, she saith unto him, listen, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he doesn't know that the dead are there, and that her guests are now in the depths of hell. David tried. He tried to save his son from strange women and the power that they can have over a man. He did his part. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I want us to lift up our voices to God and pray with our whole heart for deliverance from the spirit of the adulteress, the spiritual adulteress, the harlot that's out there, and the mother of them. And keep our garments clean. And when Jesus shows up, Glenn, we can be as virgins to Him. We go backwards with Jesus. We start out dirty and He makes us clean. Praise God. Hallelujah. No. Lord, You're our hope.